Well, I hope as we've gathered today and as we have sang psalms and have read the text from Mark chapter 5, that these are not happy psalms that we sing. They are psalms that people are in distress. And so we have this laid out before us. Psalm 88, that is put in the book of Psalms about where those who were in Babylon returning would sing these songs in remembrance of the horrors that they faced in that destruction of Judah and Jerusalem. But here we have this psalm, Psalm 88. And the title is very telling. It says it is a psalm of the songs of Korah to the choir master, according to the Mehelath Leonoth, forgive my Hebrew, according to a masculine of Heman the Ezrahite. This is a psalm of teaching, a psalm of contemplation that the Holy Spirit has given us to learn, to live our lives by it. Because in every believer's life, there is sorrow. There is sorrow that does not relent in some cases. And so not all psalms are like Psalm 1 when it says, "The man is blessed who meditates upon God's word, that his leaf will fade never and that his fruit will continue to flourish." Or the psalmist who says, "I cried unto the Lord out of the depths and he heard me." Or that when I slept, I woke and I was renewed. There are saints who do not have this experience all the time. And so God has laid this out before us. The Holy Spirit has given us to learn lessons from this psalm. And so as we open it up and look at it, think upon your lives and those whom you may know who are going through these terrors in their life. They were given us for reasons that we may learn to pray, learn to comfort, and learn to persevere. And so we come to this psalm. And it starts off well. He says, "O Lord, God of my salvation." God of my salvation. He's a believer. He is a son of God. He knows God. He has a personal relationship in our vocabulary today. And God has a relationship with him. "O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out to you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry." He has gone before other psalmists that say, "Lord, bend your ear to me and hear my cry." I know the psalmist. I know those who have been overcome with great miseries before. I know that you can deliver me, O Lord. Incline your ear to me. And what is happening in this man's life? Heman, one who was set apart by David for gathering psalms, writing psalms, along with Asaph and Ethan, men of God, used by God. And yet we have Heman here saying, "Lord, my soul is full of troubles. My life draws near to Sheol, to the grave. I'm counted among those who are in the pit. I go down to the pit." He is so overwhelmed with what's happening in his life that he walks about as a dead man. This man who is used of God is such pressure of life that he sees no hope for himself. "I am as a dead man in my life. I am as one of those who walks about with no purpose in life." And yet he's being used by God. He says, "I have no strength." The words there means, "I have no strength. The strongest man could not take what I am taking right now. My strength is gone. And so, O Lord, I pray in my weakness, Strengthen me. I am let loose like one among the dead, like the slain in the grave. I lie in the grave with those who have no remembrance. And there he is telling us, like one who has been killed in the battlefield, in the service of his king, and I am as one who is just thrown into the pit. No memorial and no remembrance by God. This beloved saint is so overwhelmed by those things happening in his life that he is consumed by them. Saints do not all have perfect lives. We do not all pray and say we will see joy in the morning, because the misery is with us even as we wake. I laid me down and slept, said David, and the Lord had sustained me. Heman does not have that. Heman is cast aside as a dead man, as a dead soldier thrown into a pit to be covered up and to be remembered no more. I'm slain and you do not remember me. But then he comes to God. He says, you have done this to me. You have put me in this place. Why, Lord, am I in the dark, deep regions in my life? Why is there no hope? Why is there no help for me? This has become very personal with Heman. And it becomes very personal with us as we are saints when we go through these things. Why is God not hearing my prayers? Why is he not lifting me up as I fellowship with other believers in the congregation? Why am I like this? And he said, Lord, I know you have put me in this place. Your wrath lies heavy upon me. You overshadow me with waves. Lord, your wrath has come upon me like a tidal wave. I am knocked down. I cannot gather my feet from under me. Where are you? There are saints in distress who feel this, who are heavy under this burden, and they say, Lord, where are you? You've caused my companions to shun me. Not even my friends, not even my brothers and sisters in Christ will have nothing to do with me. I am as a leper to them. I have no one to comfort me. I have no one to surround me with the knowledge and the love and the mercy of God, because I don't know it. And they are far from me. Lord, you have taken them away from me. There's no hope for me. Goes my eyes. My eyes grow dim through sorrow. We know this as crying our eyes out. He cried his eyes out. She cried her eyes out. She blinded herself with her sorrows, with his sorrows. Lord, where are you? I am mourning all the day long. And then he comes and argues with God. I know. I'll get God. I'll get his attention. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the departed rise up and praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave? Are your wonders known in the darkness? Or your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? It's a yes and a no. Yes, they are. The dead do rise up. They do glorify God at that coming of Christ, when body and soul united will praise him for the work of salvation through Christ Jesus. And yet he says, Lord, if you are going to work in my life, work these miracles for me. Raise me up in this life that others can see what you are doing in my life. Raise me up, O Lord. Show your wonders. Show your righteousness. You won't be forgotten if you do these things for me. He is so downtrodden by his miseries in his life. Where are you, O Lord? And if you really want to show yourself, work on my behalf. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you've had this experience where you say, and you've been in this turmoil, Lord, release me from this. Whatever it is, remove it from me, O Lord. I cannot take this anymore. And so he challenges, as we challenge God, Lord, if you love me, you will deliver me from this. Oh, saints, each saint's life is different. Each saint's life is indeed in the hand of God. And so when we come to challenge God in our prayer, seek it for his glory. But we'll get back to that later. And then he goes on, he says, but oh Lord, in the morning, my prayer comes up before you. Lord, you said in the first verse, day and night. And now he looks to the morning. One more morning. Maybe this is the morning that God will give me relief. Maybe this is the morning I can no longer have to suffer this, but see the joy in the Lord. To be renewed, to be lifted up in his wings. Maybe this is the morning. My prayer comes before you. But then, O Lord, why do you cast away my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? Afflicted and close to death from my youth up. Look at how long this man has been going through this. Heman, a servant of God, a writer of Psalms, singing in the temple. Heman, from his youth up, was feeling this misery. Lord, how long? From the youth up. We remember from Mark chapter 5, that lady who had suffered that hemorrhage and had spent all her money on doctors and physicians and remedies to no end. Says, but if I can but touch the hem of his garment. How long she suffered. How long she was exempted from the worship of God. Counted as herself as a leper. And yet she saw hope in Christ. And Heman sees none. Yet he prays. Afflicted and close to death from my youth, I suffer your terrors. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dreadful assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood, stuck in that whirlpool, never being able to manage your life, never being able to manage to see what God is doing in your life, because you are completely confounded by the wrath of God upon you. Why, O Lord? They surround me like a flood all day long. All day long, from his youth up, he has been going through these turmoils. Lord, where are you? And again, he says, not only have my friends and brothers rejected me, my friend and my beloved has now rejected me. Those in the family, those who are closest to me now, have turned from me. We see almost a similar case of Job, when we don't see his family around him until the very end, when God blesses him. Job, just as surprised as Heman, why did these things happen to me? So now we know why Heman is complaining. Now we know why the Holy Spirit wants us to look at this. Because not all believers' lives are full of happiness and joy all the time. There are days that you drudge into church on the Lord's Day and you just don't know if you're going to be fed. You just don't know. Or even if I want to do this anymore. This is where Heman has come to this point. He serves God, but it is a hard service for him. And this psalm, like any other psalm, doesn't end on promise. It ends on sadness. This psalm is considered the saddest psalm in the whole of the Psalter for one reason, but we may learn what it is to be under the hand of God, to be under God's wrath, to see no hope, and then to direct us in what to do. So first we look at why is he like this? What has happened to Heman that he got into this state? Heman, nowhere in this psalm talks of sin or repentance. He no longer brings that into the picture at all. He says, God of my salvation. And then he lays out how he feels, and then he lays out the argument to God. So he says, oh Lord, he's asked this question, why have you done this to me? Why? Does he get an answer? We're left hanging. It may be sin, but we don't know. It may be those things that are going on in everyday life. He's made perhaps wrong choices, wrong friends, something. What is it, Lord? I don't know. Open my eyes that I may see. But Heman is stuck. Maybe it's lack of communion with God. Maybe he doesn't seek God, but you think a man who is putting psalms and singing and praying seeks God. Maybe he has wrong thoughts of God. He makes some negative arguments there about the dead. Would they praise him? Is your righteousness known in the grave? No. What is it? We don't know. Saint, if you're going through these things, you may not know yourself. If it's sin, you will know. God will burn your conscience to know what that sin is. So here it is. Maybe he doesn't realize the love of God that he has given him. Maybe he's taken God for granted. And so he says, I don't need to commune with him. I don't need to have that relationship as strong as I need. But more than likely be a circumstance in his life that has triggered one thing after the other. Maybe all those things. Hidden sin. No communion with God. Not knowing the love of God. Not knowing God's mercies. Though he may write and sing about them, he does not know them. We don't know. I don't know. Others may know. I don't know. As I looked into this, I did not find the answer. But so we look and say, why? What's the purpose then? Why does God do this to us? What's the purpose of God giving us this misery in our life? This weight that is so heavy we cannot escape from it. It seems like he has turned his wrath upon us, turned his face from us. Why? And so we must ask ourselves this question, or these questions, as you go through this. But the first thing I want you to realize that in faith in Jesus Christ, there is suffering. It is a false gospel that says that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, your life will be perfect, you will be rich, you will have the house that you want, and everybody will love you. That is not faith in Jesus Christ. It is the opposite. It will be taken away from you if it is your God. You'll be humbled if you are proud. And so, understand that. You're going to have hard times in your lives. Some of us older than you, than some of you out there. Some of you are young, going through the school age years, and some of us are retired. But life has come with troubles. Some we have borne humbly, and others we have been humbled by them to see the love of God. So one of the first things we'll do, we'll have a self-revelation about ourselves. And you know what? We love ourselves so much. We are so good. We are so holy and sanctified. Not like the one on my right or the one on my left. We have such a high degree in ourselves that who can bring us down? But we know who can bring us down. And often does. When we realize that we are nothing in comparison to God, that we, the life we have is just a gift of God, that's when our life can really begin. Another thing is spiritual discipline. Drawing nearer to God is one of those things that we need to do in these hard circumstances. Matthew Henry says that when someone is shooting an arrow at you, the best thing you can do is get closer to him, because that arrow won't be able to be released. Get closer to God. The spiritual discipline that you need is that time that you spend with God. As I was saying before, we don't know what Heman's issue was. But the Holy Spirit is teaching us, do not give up seeking God. His first verse says that. His first line, his first word, O Lord God of my salvation. He never gave up. This whole psalm, he's never giving up. He's not turning from God. He's going closer to him. And that's why we are under these burdens at times. Draw closer to God. Lord, who do I have in heaven but thee? And upon the earth, none beside thee. Draw closer to God when you're going through these times. And also, when we go through these times, if you've come through the other side, if you see people going through these times, what do we learn? Not all of you were in Bible study this morning. I recommend it was a great Bible study. You should hit it because you learn of the love that we learned of, the love of God to us. And this is the example that we learn, this agape love. When we see somebody who is painful and hurting, we have gone through that. We reach out to them in their pain and suffering. Because you know, brother or sister, I'm not going exactly through what you're going through, but I felt God's hand upon me heavy. I had those times of dryness and hurt. And just let me be with you. Let me pray with you. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us hanging here. He lets us know. Draw close to God. He had these friends, Heman, who left him. He's a leper. He's under God's judgment. No. This commandment I give you, that you love one another. And what better way to do it in the body of Christ? So God has given us these sufferings to use them, to draw fruit in us. We read of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How are we going to be nurtured and grown in it? But that God uses his arrows, his waves, to cut us into Christ. And lastly, I'll just speak briefly on this. The prayer that we need to use. I love the prayers of the saints. But here, this prayer of Heman is so natural. He doesn't stand there with the thee and the thou and the holy of this. Lord, why are you doing this to me? Make that speech natural to him. He is your father. Speak to him as a child. He won't refuse you. And as we see in Haman, speak often, morning and evening, mourning, waiting for that day to come. Open your hearts to Him. Speak naturally. Speak often. And even as Haman at times pray with weeping and mourning in our hearts, Lord, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing it to my brother or sister? My husband, my wife, my child, why? Weep and mourn before God. Haman has laid this out for us. But the Holy Spirit is teaching us so much more through this psalm of hardship. As I said, it was the hardest psalm in the Psalter. The one that shows no light, but there is so much light in it. Just from that first verse. And then when you pray, understand and believe that it is the Lord that you get your help from. Lord, I seek no other. Even though all have left me, all have fled from me, Lord, I count on you, and I believe that you will answer my prayer. I believe that you will be my comforter at some time. It may be days, it may be months, it may be weeks, it may be years, but the Lord will comfort you. It may take you up to the time of death, and you'll be comforted in that death. But the Lord will comfort you. There's no guarantee when He will lift it. We have no way of making God do what we want Him to do. He does it. As Christ said, not my will, but your will be done, O Lord. And here we are in our lives. And God is bending us and shaping us and making us like Christ. So look at these things. Pray naturally. Pray often. Pray weeping. And pray with faith, knowing that God will do it. And as I said before, pray for those who are experiencing these hardships. Pray for those who feel neglected, unloved, unsanctified. Pray for them. That's why you are here. Lord, the Lord is letting you go through these things to comfort, to be with them alongside. And there's one more thing that I want to just bring out, and I will close with this. And it talks, Charles Spurgeon was a preacher, and he was a man who suffered with depression. He was a man who went and fought against Darwinian evolution with all his fiber, but he suffered from depression, great bouts of it. And he wrestled daily. And he says this about one of these verses. But when he's overwhelmed, he said, when people come and tell you that this is how they feel, they really feel this way. They may work things up, but take them seriously and minister to them with that love of Christ in your heart. There is an overwhelming that people can get into. Take that seriously. Minister to them. For God has put you in this place to look at this psalm today and say, Lord, am I one who shuns the one who is in that direction? Am I the one who says, you know what? Just pick yourself up by your own bootstraps, you'll be okay. Or pray this prayer, or everything's going to work out fine, or do I minister to them? You do not need to be an elder, a pastor, to minister to the saints, and to those who you come in contact, frankly, in the world that you work in. How else are you going to show the love of Christ? And so with this, I pray that you take these words of the 88th Psalm. Meditate upon them today. It is a psalm of teaching and learning. That's what it's labeled as. That's the Hebrew form, right? That's what it means. Actually, the form is to be played on a flute. and is played to be played on a flute that causes dejection, so that you will feel just as dejected as Heman does. Just as dejected as when those who went into Babylon. Just as dejected as your brothers and sisters in Christ who now suffer under the heavy hand of God and know not why. As we learn today, the love that we have is the agape love, that gift of God. The gift that is full of compassion. Not only just saying it, but showing it. It's a working love. That's what we need to have. That's what Christ has called us to. I know we hear it. I know we think about it. I know we think we should do it. Well, it's time to put our thoughts into feet and action. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Seek how they are doing. And let the love of Christ reign in us. I don't remember reading anywhere where Jesus rejected somebody who came up and said, "Lord, can you heal me? Lord, can you have compassion on me?" No. There was none turned away. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, we are indeed thankful for your holy word.